here and I'm excited and we're starting a brand new series today. It is called Sow and Reap. And to kick this off, I want to get on the same page about what we're going to talk about today. There are certain irrefutable laws that govern our universe. For example, gravity. If I were to take a step off of this stage, what would happen? I would fall, right? Everyone in this room could predict with 100% certainty what would happen. I would not float, you know, away. I would not kind of drift sideways and then down. I would just fall because that's how gravity works. It's an irrefutable law. You may not be aware, there are certain irrefutable laws that govern other parts of our lives. For example, if you don't have kids, or maybe you just have one or two, you may not be aware, there's an irrefutable law of parenting. If you have three or more children, an irrefutable law that you will discover to be true is that anytime you go out in public, someone will forget an essential item of clothing. It's gonna happen. Might happen sporadically with one or two kids, three or more every time. Essential item of clothing is not going to be taken along by someone in the household. A few weeks ago, we have five kids, by the way, and a few weeks ago, we were heading out to get a pizza, a couple pizzas from Pizza Hut. We do this often. We order the same thing every time. We get carry out. We take it back home. It's the same price every time because, as I said, we get the same order. It's $19.98. Being a dad, I have the same dad joke I make when I pick it up. They say, it's 1998, sir. I say, that was a good year. And it's usually the same girl who says, I wouldn't know, I wasn't born. I have the same visceral reaction. I want to punch her in the throat. But I refrain because I'm a Christian and the Holy Spirit has given me the gift of self-control. And so I don't do that. But I think about how old I am, I pay, and then I go out. And so I'm expecting this. I roll up to Pizza Hut, got my family in the car. They're waiting on me. I'm going to grab the pizzas. I'm preparing to make my joke. But she does not say that it's 1998. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I don't see your order. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I just ordered like 20 minutes ago. I'm sure it's in there. And she's like, well, let me check something. And she goes, oh, you know what? This happens sometimes. She's like, you accidentally ordered to the Maysville Pizza Hut. And so we don't have your order. I'm like, oh man. So I had to call Maysville, I had to cancel. And I'm like, well, we're here. I guess just put it in and we'll just wait. You know, it was a different price because that's the online price. So I didn't even get to make my joke. So I'm walking out like a whipped puppy to the car. And I get in and my wife's like, where's the pizza? And I got to tell her what's going on. And I'm like, we're going to have to wait 20 minutes. And we're having the hushed tones parenting conversation in the front seat about what we're going to do. And she goes, well, there is a park next door, you know, and there's really good play set. We could just go over there and just let the kids out and play. It was a beautiful evening. And I was like, that's a great idea. And so being the dad and wanting to be the hero of the situation, I took it from the hushed tones. And I was like, hey, kids, you want to go play on the play set next door? And I'm expecting, like, you know, the jubilated response, you know, like, yeah, let's go play on the play set, you know, except that's not what happened. Because before anybody could say anything, I hear the voice of my oldest son, Judah. He's 10 years old, from the back seat. And he goes, I don't have any pants. So I look back, sure enough, he's got flip-flops, he's got a shirt on, it's one of my shirts, he wears his pajamas, comes down about here, looks like he's wearing a dress, no pants. Maybe the last time we went to Pizza Hut, he saw the sign on the door, no shoes, no shirt, no service, they didn't say anything about pants. So I'm like thinking to myself, looking at him, how do you not wear pants? We're going out in public, you know? And being a dad, I'm getting ready to say this rhetorical question to him. But before I can again say anything, he goes, oh, never mind. Here's some. Pair of his own shorts from a previous excursion on the ground. Probably the most explicit, you know, experience of Jehovah Jireh that I've ever witnessed. I mean, that quick, like, don't have pants, boom, some pants, you know. Puts them on, and we're good to go to play on the play set. Irrefutable law. Three or more kids. Somebody's forgetting essential item of clothing. It's usually the socks or the shoes, right? Maybe the coat every now and then. I'm telling you, you have five kids, somebody's forgetting their pants, all right? It's gonna happen. Irrefutable law. I want to talk to you today about an irrefutable law of nature, but it's also an irrefutable law of human nature. And there's no way around it. It governs and it affects and it impacts every single area of our lives. This law governs and impacts your relationship with God. It governs and impacts your relationships with other people. It affects your marriage. It affects your kids and how they grow up. It affects your finances. It affects every single area of your life. And this law that I'm talking about is the irrefutable law of sowing and reaping. I want to show it to you in scripture as we're getting started today. It's found in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. And this is going to be a key verse for today, but it's also going to lay the foundation for this entire series. And it says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." It's using this farming illustration that you take a seed and you plant it in the ground. That's called sowing. You're sowing seed, and then that goes through a process of growth until eventually you reap what you have sown, right? And so if you don't sow, you won't reap, but you will reap whatever you have sown. And so he's talking about this farming principle, this reality, but he takes it from farming and he applies it literally to every area of our lives. He says in the next verse, "Whoever sows to please their flesh," meaning their selfishness, their selfish carnal desires, "from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit," meaning the Spirit of God, "will reap eternal life." And in response to this, he says, "Let us therefore not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Do not be deceived. There are no loopholes in this law. There's no way around it. You reap what you sow. I want to think about for just a few minutes another irrefutable law, the law of gravity. How did Isaac Newton discover the law of gravity? Well, legend has it in the summer of 1666, he was sitting under an apple tree thinking about big ideas when one hit him on the head, you know, an apple fell. Things fall. Oh my goodness, this is incredible, right? But what was the big deal about that? Because surely thousands, if not millions of people had witnessed a similar event in history. The big deal was a question that popped into his mind when the apple hit him on the head. Why? Why do apples fall? In other words, there is a reason that apples fall. There's a reason. There's an unknown force that causes apples to fall off of trees rather than float away. There is a reason. Let me assure you today, in a similar way, in your relationship with God, when you're not right with God, there is a reason. When you're struggling in your marriage, there is a reason. When your kids are struggling and not making good choices, there is a reason. When your financial house is struggling and you're living paycheck to paycheck, there's a reason. And in all of those situations, the reason is almost always either connected to or directly the result of this irrefutable law of sowing and reaping. You see, we can't just be aware of this law. We have to understand it, because if you understand it, you can use it in your life. For example, Newton discovered gravity. He helped us observe it and put language to it. But because of his discovery, scientists down through the ages have come to understand it. And therefore, they've been able to use it for the benefit of mankind. And so 50 years ago, Apollo 11 is planning their mission to the moon. And if you've ever seen a diagram of the actual flight path, you'll know that it's a figure eight pattern around the Earth and the moon, because they had these very complex problems to try to figure out how in the world are we going to get a spaceship out of this world, literally, and have enough fuel to get to the moon and back, and how are we going to land on the moon? And they couldn't figure it out until they realized, some very, very, very smart people who understand gravity realized, we can use the moon's gravity to help us land on the moon, but then also when we're taking off, we can use the moon's gravity to slingshot us and throw us back to Earth. It's called gravity assist, or the slingshot effect. And so because they understood the law of gravity, they could utilize it to help do something that mankind had never done before, which was walk on a celestial body that was not of this world in a very literal way. That is just incredible. The same thing can happen when you understand the law of sowing and reaping. When you understand it, you can put it to work in your life and use it for your benefit to bring about some really, really, really good things in your life. You see, if you're not sowing, you're not going to reap. But if you see anybody in this life who's successful in any area, someone who's successful in their relationship with God, they know God really well, they're close to God, they know how God wants them to live. If you see somebody who's successful in their marriage, if you see somebody who raises really awesome, God-loving, responsible kids, if you see somebody that knows how to handle their finances and is living debt-free and has financial freedom, here's one thing I can tell you these people have been doing a lot of. And that is sowing. They understand the importance of sowing into these different areas of their lives. See, some people think they can ignore this law. Like, we've all heard it before, right? We've all heard, you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow. And so we all know it, but do we understand it? Sowing is investing intentionally into the different areas of your life. It's taking something that you have, whether time, resources, wisdom, making good decisions, hard work, and you plant that into the different areas of your life. You plant that into the different relationships of your life. And if you will do that, if you will sow into these different areas, invest intentionally, you will reap a harvest, because this is absolutely true. You can't get around it. A man reaps what he sows. See, some people think they can ignore it. Some people, they can get around it. Some people think they can get around it. They think that there's loopholes. They think, well, it's not that big of a deal if I don't pay much attention or if I don't do this or that. But scripture says, don't deceive yourself. God cannot be mocked. See, there's another law at work in our lives. And if we don't sow, you actually will reap something. According to the second law of thermodynamics. You guys know the second law of thermodynamics, right? It's a law of nature, right? And it states this, that the entropy of any isolated system always increases, right? I mean, everybody knows that, right? The entropy of any isolated system increases. It's common sense. It's like gravity, right? Now, you have to understand, I had to Google that. I remembered the concept. I'm like, isn't there a law that talks about this concept? And I had to Google it, and I was like, whoa, this definition is like, whoa. And we were in a staff meeting this week. There's like seven or eight of us sitting around the table, and I was sharing this with our staff like I had always known it, you know? And I was like, well, you guys, you know, according to the second law of thermodynamics, you know, the entropy of any isolated system always increases. And Josh Young, our executive pastor, who is a self-professed nerd. That's his words, not mine. And he's also was an engineer for years. He's like, oh, and it was so authentic. He goes, exactly. He's like, that's so true. And he was dead serious. And everybody else was like, what? Like, what did you just say? And I told him, I was like, don't worry, I had to Google it too. The word, let me tell you in plain English. The word entropy is a really scientific word that means disorder. And what scientists have discovered is in nature, things never just magically come into a state of being more orderly, right? Things go from being orderly, and if you do nothing and just let things go, they become more and more disorderly. They become more and more chaotic. And so if you want to reverse that trend, if you want to bring order to your life in any area, I read it this way on one scientific website, reversing this ever-increasing movement towards disorder requires the intentional input of energy. You see, if you think you can ignore this irrefutable law of sowing and reaping, and you think, well, I'm just not going to sow into my marriage, or I'm just not going to sow into my kids, or I'm just not going to sow the word of God into my life, you know, don't be deceived, okay? You will reap something. You will reap disorder. And if you want to, and so let me say it this way. If you think you can get around this and you're not sowing into your relationship with God, guess what's going to happen? Your relationship with God is going to drift towards disorder. If you're not sowing into your relationship with your spouse, relational connection, your marriage is going to drift towards disorder. If you're not sowing into your kids, training them up in the way they should go, sowing discipline in their lives when they're ages like 2 to 12, guess what's going to happen? They're going to drift towards disorder. And then you wonder why they're such disrespectful and rebellious teenagers, right? If you don't sow intentionally into your own bank accounts, your finances are going to drift towards disorder. And the only way to reverse that law of thermodynamics, which can be applied to other areas of your life, is the intentional input of energy. Do you know what another word for energy is? Work. Work. You got to put the work in. Do you know what's a lot of work? Ask any farmer. Sowing. Planting. Planting season and the harvesting season are the two seasons that require the most work for any farmer, right? Because there's a process that you have to go through. And so you got to put in the work. Sowing is this process where you plant seeds. Farmers go through this process every single year, and they do this work where they prepare the ground, they cultivate the soil, they plow it up, they got to get the conditions just right, and then they spend the time planting seeds, seed after seed, and they do it across their fields. It takes a very long time. You know, the more land that you have, the more areas of your life that you want to sow into, it's a process where you have to be very particular. And if you ask any farmer, they're very careful about the planting process, because if they don't plant right, it doesn't matter how much you prepare for the harvest. It doesn't matter how much you get excited about the harvest. There's not going to be a harvest if you don't put in the energy and the work of sowing, of planting. And so you cannot get around this law. And in fact, if you've ever noticed areas of your life that are in disorder, chances are it's related to the fact that you haven't been sowing into those areas the way that you need to be sowing into those areas. You haven't been intentionally investing time and energy and good seed and wise decisions and putting some work into those areas in your life. And so they're drifting towards disorder. Farmers go through this process every spring where they're very careful about how they plant, right? Because they know if they don't plant right, they're not going to be anything to reap. We have to understand this concept. We have to understand how to put it into practice. And so I want to spend the rest of our time, I want to talk about three principles of sowing and reaping. Okay, I think this was originally by Charles Stanley, talked about this. Three principles of sowing and reaping, because I want to help us understand this so that we can learn to sow well into these different areas of our lives. Number one, you reap what you sow. As the scripture that we read said in Galatians 6, verse 7, a man reaps what he sows. You reap what you sow. Verse 8 said it this way, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. If you plant an apple seed, what do you get? An apple tree. You plant an orange seed, what do you get? An orange tree, right? You plant a kernel of corn, what do you get? Corn plant. You reap what you've sown. So are you sowing good seed into your life, or are you sowing bad seed? If you sow kindness, encouragement, and acts of hospitality and service into the people in your life, you're going to reap strong, loving relationships and friendships. But if you sow criticism and complaining and apathy, you're going to reap backbiting and divisiveness and separation, because you reap what you sow. If you sow wise decisions, you'll reap success. But if you sow poor decisions, you're going to reap failure. If you sow obedience to God, you'll reap his favor. But if you sow foolishness, indifference, or rebellion, you'll reap his discipline. Are you sowing the right kind of seed into the different areas of your life and into the people in your life? Because you reap what you sow. Number two, though, you reap more than you sow. And this one right here is, we have to understand this, because I think this is why this irrefutable law of sowing and reaping is so important in our lives. I have right here in my back pocket a kernel of corn, all right? If you plant a seed of corn in the ground, you get one corn plant. Each corn plant has how many ears of corn? Anybody out there know? Anybody, shout it out. Two ears of corn, all right? That's why you can't tell secrets in the cornfield. There's too many ears listening, all right? My dad joke game is strong, all right? There's more where that came from. But you plant one seed of corn, you get two ears of corn. Each ear of corn, I Googled it this week, on average, depending on what type of corn and whatnot, each ear of corn, on average, has about 800 kernels, which means from one kernel of corn, one seed, you get about 1,600 times the fruit of what you planted. It's multiplication. It's exponential. You reap more than you sow. So think about this in your life. If you sow one good decision, one act of love or kindness, one word of encouragement into just one relationship, you are sowing into your future the potential of reaping 1,600 times the love and goodness and kindness in that relationship in your life. But remember, according to the first principle we talked about, you reap what you sow. So it works the other way as well. So if you sow one bad decision, just one little sin, one little complaint that your kids overhear, one little criticism, one little word of gossip, the potential multiplication of that bad decision or sin is still just as exponential. And that's why sin is so serious and God warns us against it so sternly. And that's why we have to take this irrefutable law so seriously, because you're always sowing something. And whatever you're sowing into your life, you're going to reap much, much more of whatever you've been sowing. You reap what you sow, and you reap much, much more than you sow. But thirdly, the third principle I want to talk about is you reap later than you sow. In Galatians 6, verse 9 says it this way, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time," would you look at your neighbor and tell him, at the proper time? At the proper time. Another translation says, "For in due season." Think about when farmers plant and then when they harvest or when they reap. Is it in the same season? No, it's in the next season. In fact, it's two seasons later in the area of the world that we live in. So at the proper time, in due season, not the season you're in the next season of your life, that's when you're going to reap. At the proper time, it says this, we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest. This is a promise from the word of God. It's going to happen at the proper time, in due season. You will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's a big if. This promise of God is conditional. You have something that you have to do, and it's really simple. If you want to see a harvest of good things in your life in any area, all you have to do is keep sowing and don't give up. Don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. Right? Look at your neighbor, tell him, can't stop, won't stop. Can't stop sowing, won't stop sowing. Right? If you want to reap a harvest of good things in any area of your life, you've got to be committed to sowing and you cannot give up. You reap later than you sow in the next season, in a later season. I've been around farmers my whole life because I grew up in Brown County. That's what we do out here. All right. Raise your hand. How many of you know a farmer? Like, yeah, everybody, right? We all know a farmer, right? I've been around farmers my whole life. My grandparents were farmers. They had a good-sized farm in the southern parts of Brown County. My dad had we had a mini farm down close to Russellville that I grew up on. We grew some crops and we had some animals. And so I grew up around it. Now I live close to that same area, but my neighbors are farmers, full-time farmers, the whole family. And I see them out all the time. And so I've been around farmers my whole life, know lots of farmers. I'm fascinated by farming, by the process, especially the more I learn about God and spirituality and all the farming illustrations that Jesus used and that the Bible uses about our spiritual lives. There's so many parallels. And so when I'm around farmers, I'll ask them questions. And I just love to hear their descriptions of what it's like and the process that they go through. And it's interesting, being around farmers my whole life, you know what I've never heard a farmer do? I've never heard a farmer who's out planting his fields, and the same day that he's planting, he complains that there's no harvest. Right? I've never heard that. Wouldn't that be absurd? Like, imagine you raise your hand, I know a farmer. Imagine you're talking to that farmer this week and they're telling you about the harvest or the planting this spring. Like, well, planting went pretty good. But you know, we got done the day that we planted, and man, there was nothing happening. Those seeds just sat there. There was no plants coming. There wasn't bearing fruit, man. I wanna take that seed to the market and sell it. I got a family to feed, and I planted, I worked so hard and nothing was happening. Man, it's frustrating. Like, I mean, it's absurd, isn't it? Like, you'd be like, are you feeling okay? Like, you've been doing this a while, right? You know there's a process, right? Because it's common sense when we talk about farming. The day you sow is not the day you reap. And we all know that when it comes to the food we eat. But for some reason, even though I've never heard a farmer in real life, you know, when it comes to the food we eat, complain that the day he planted is not the day that he's going to reap the fruit. Even though I've never heard that, it's funny, I hear it all the time when it comes to our spiritual lives, right? And so God brings something up in your life and you realize, oh my goodness, you know, I'm drifting towards disorder in my relationship with God or in my marriage or my kids. And so you God wakes you up and you're like, man, I need to start sowing into these things. And you get serious, you know? And then you ever hear people, it's like, I hear this kind of stuff all the time. It's like, man, God brought this. I realized I was far from God. And man, I've been reading my Bible every day and I've been praying every day more than I ever have. And nothing's happening. I was like, well, when did you start doing that? Well, it was like a whole week ago. I came to church last week and I've been praying every day and I've been reading the word every day and nothing's changed. God said he'd answer my prayer and I prayed and then nothing happened. All right. You know, fellas, you ever have this happen? Your wife comes to you one day and she goes, can we talk? You're like, yes. You know, if she has to ask, you're in trouble, right? Can we talk? Yeah. You ever have this happen? She's like, we are not okay. And you're just like, what the? You're like, what? I thought everything was great. You know, it's like a 10 out. She's like, we're like a 2 out of 10 right now. It's like, we are? Right? Thought everything was great, man. And you're like, wow, things are kind of tense, right? You hear people go through that. It's like, man, I bought her flowers. Next day, I took her on a date. I've been texting her every day. This man, it's been a whole week. Nothing's happening. You know, it's still tense, you know? It's been a whole week. You know, I've been pouring into my kids. God brought this up. I need to invest in my kids and I need to discipline them more. And I need to train them. I need to encourage them. You know, I need to hold them accountable. I need to pour into them. I need to spend more time. I've been doing it for a whole week, man, and nothing's happening. See, we don't expect that of the food that we eat. And yet we complain about it in our own lives. But listen, I'm telling you, The season that you sow in is not the season that you reap. You reap later than you sow. And so I know probably most of you in this room, you have an area in your life where you've been struggling and God's brought that up and you've started sowing into that. You've started spending time with God. You've started praying and asking him to help you. You know, you've started investing time and work. And here's my encouragement to you today. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep sowing into that area of your life. And here's why. Because we have a promise from the Word of God. You will reap a harvest if you don't give up. If you keep sowing into that relationship, you will reap a harvest. Don't give up. If you keep sowing into your relationship with God, you will reap a harvest. If you keep sowing into your children, listen, the word says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they are what? When they are teenagers? No, when they're old, they won't turn from it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, right? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. That's what Hebrews 12 says. Listen, keep on sowing discipline into your kids, especially ages 2 to 12. Right? Those are the training years. Those are the instruction years. Those are the discipline years. If you want the teenage years to go well, you've got to put a lot of effort and work and intentionality into the years 2 to 12. And if you want their adult years to go well, you get to where you can drive and all right, you're on your own. Like, those are the coaching years, man. You got to keep investing in those kids. Keep sowing into them. Keep asking tough questions. Keep coming alongside them and helping them through the difficult things in their life. Listen, you as a parent, you know what's coming. You see the seasons of their lives coming before they do. And pull them aside and go, hey, have you thought, you know, this is coming up. You know, you're going to be graduating. So, you know, have you thought about what you're going to do with your life? Like, let's have those intentional conversations. sow into your kids and don't give up, because you will reap a harvest. You will. It's a promise from the word of God. Don't give up. Keep sowing in every single area of your life. You know, I was thinking about how we reap later than we sow. And I was thinking about in the natural, like literally planting fields, how much later do we actually reap? And so if the planting takes place in this area of the world in, say, April or May, we're reaping about this time of year, September, October, because you reap later than you sow. And so let's say it's 4-5 months later than you sow your seed, you plant your fields, you're reaping a harvest. And so what if today we took this seriously? What if we received what God was sowing into our lives and planting in us, and we took that seriously? What if we began to sow into every area in our life? When would the harvest season be? And I was thinking, man, I think in the spiritual sense, it's actually similar to the physical in a lot of ways. Like you, if you start sowing into your life this week, you may not see much in a day or two, but in a month or two, you might start to see some things growing and some changes taking place. You might not see a whole lot in 5 or 6 days, but in 5 or 6 months, I think you could very well be reaping some fruit of the different kinds of decisions that you're making in your life. And I was thinking ahead, like, well, what's coming up, you know, say 4 or 5 months from now? Well, that'd be January. That's the new year, right? And so let's think about, this is what farmers have to do every spring, right? See, my farmer neighbors, they plant different stuff every year. Sometimes it's corn, sometimes it's beans. Well, how do they decide? They got to think ahead to the harvest season and like, man, what do I want to reap this year in 4 or 5 months? What am I going to, well, I'm going to look at the prices, you know, how can I make the most benefit based on the prices? What did I plant last? They consider all these factors, but they think ahead to the harvest and go, man, what do I want to be reaping in 4 or 5 months? Well, that's what I'm going to start sowing in this season. And so come January 2020, here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to wake up in January like we usually do, right? This is what happens every January. We wake up and we realize what? We realize the second law of thermodynamics is really true. And we've drifted towards disorder, right? And I don't know about you, but I'm really sick of drifting towards disorder in the latter half of the year. And then you wake up in January and you're like, oh my goodness, my life is so chaotic. I guess I better put some intentional energy, make some New Year's resolutions. What is that? You're making a decision every January to start sowing into the different areas of your life, right? So that you can get back in order. And I'm like, man, what if we took that seriously right now, this principle? And what if instead of waking up in January, what if we wake up right now and take this seriously and put this irrefutable law of God into work in our lives and use it for our benefits, because now we understand it. How could we wake up differently in January 2020? Well, I wrote down a few thoughts and I want to share them with you. I think if you take this seriously, if you really pray on this, I know the Holy Spirit's bringing up areas of your life as I've been talking that you need to start sowing into. And God always, he doesn't bring up things in your life to shame you. He brings them up to set you free. That's his good and loving Father heart for you. And so whatever area God's bringing up, he wants you to sow into those areas in your life. Man, how could you wake up differently in January 2020? What fruit could you be harvesting in January if you started sowing right now? I think it's totally possible, if you took this seriously starting today, that come January, you are closer to God than you've ever been in your life. If you take this seriously, You know, last week, Pastor Bryant preached a great message. And at the end, he's like, I want to challenge you with a few things. And one of them is, you know, I want you to try to read the Bible for 15 minutes every day, just 15 minutes. Man, what if you took that seriously the rest of this year and you intentionally sowed the word of God into your heart? And man, I know it can be discouraging when you first start out and you're like, man, I don't understand. It's not working. Maybe you're doing that this week and it's the first time you've ever really read scripture for yourself. And you're like, this is confusing. It's so long ago. I don't understand what's going on. Listen, you're just starting to sow into your life. Don't give up. Keep sowing the word of God because you will understand more and more. And I'm telling you, that word will bear fruit. I think it's totally possible for you to wake up in January and be closer to God than you've ever been in your life. I think it's possible for you to wake up in January and your marriage is full of more joy and peace than you've ever experienced in your life because you started sowing into that relationship in September of 2019, and you started taking this seriously. And listen, the longer you're married, the more kids you have, the busier you get, you just tend to drift towards disorder. And I just want to encourage some of you who maybe you feel like in your marriage that you're living with your business partner. You're just coworkers, right? All you ever talk about is the family schedule and who's picking who up and who's doing what. And I want to encourage you, set aside the time to do a date night. Set aside time to talk and just be together. Even if it's watching TV at home together after the kids go to sleep. Like set aside time to invest into one another on a weekly basis. Sow into that relationship. Serve one another. Serve your partner in ways that they will appreciate. I think if you take that time and if you will do that, man, you could wake up and your marriage is just at a whole different level come January. And maybe you need help with that. And I want to encourage you, today's the last day of growth group signups. And we've got a few growth groups that are studying marriage. And you and your spouse can go to one of those and you can study marriage and how to have a healthy, thriving marriage with other couples who want to grow in that same way over this fall. And you can sign up today and set aside that time and say, we are going to invest in this and we are going to go after this and we're going to work on this over the next several months. I think it's possible that you could wake up in January and your kids are more secure and confident in who they are and they're more respectful of you and the things that you are guiding them in. Because you've been intentional over the last several months about sowing into their lives and about training them up in the way they should go. And not just being intentional about disciplining them, but you've been intentional about encouraging them, pouring into them, helping them through life with what they're going through. It's totally possible. Do not give up on your kids. Do not write them off. They're too far gone. They're not too far gone. Start sowing into their lives. I think it's possible you could wake up in January and man, you don't have to set a bunch of New Year resolutions for your physical health because you've already been kicking butt and taking names in the gym and eating healthy. Who's with me? Yeah. Y'all are like, no, dude. It's possible. If you take this seriously today, and scripture talks about our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and it's not as important as your spiritual health, but it is important. Physical training has some profit, but godliness has profit in all things, in this life and in the life to come. It is one aspect. You do need to take care of yourself. And man, you don't have to wake up guilty in January and try to make changes. You can start now. It's totally possible. I think it's totally possible you could wake up in January and you're already well on your way to being debt-free in your finances. Because maybe you joined our Financial Peace University group. Today's the last day to sign up. And you got serious. And you don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. And maybe you've never been good at handling your finances. Set aside the time. Invest in learning how to handle your finances in a wise way. And man, 5 months, man, that's a long time. You can make a lot of ground in 5 months if you get serious. I think our church come January could be healthier and more vigorous than we've ever been spiritually. I think we could be reaching more people than we've ever reached up until this point in our history. If we all take this seriously and we're sowing financially into what God is doing here, and we're sowing with our time by serving, attend one, serve one, and we're sowing by sharing our faith when we go out from this place, and we're thinking about how we can invite people to church, we could be reaching more people than we've ever reached come January, and we could be healthier spiritually than we've ever been if we take this seriously. And we're focused on sowing into our relationship with God, and we're focused on sowing into the kingdom of God right here in our home church. These things are totally possible come January. They might not be possible by next week, but those things are possible come January if we take this one thing very, very seriously. A man reaps what he sows. So let's start sowing. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, I pray that you would just get this word deep down in our souls, that you would plant this deep within us, Lord, that this word would bear fruit, that your Holy Spirit would bring it to fruition, and that we would become serious about sowing good works, good deeds, good wisdom, good decisions into every single area of our lives, God, because we reap what we sow. God, I pray for every person in this room, as you bring up areas in their lives that they need to work on, areas that they've been drifting towards disorder, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just highlight ways that they can sow into those areas and sow into those relationships to bring about the fruit, God, that you want to bear in their lives. And God, I pray that we could always keep our hearts and minds open to how you want to sow into us, because your Holy Spirit is always speaking and always sowing into our hearts and into our lives. I pray that you would help us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray come January, we could reap a harvest because of what's been sown throughout this series. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you would do all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.